This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President-elect Donald Trump says he selected former Congressman Lee Zeldin from New York as administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency, saying Zeldin will ensure fair and swift deregulatory decisions to unleash the power of American businesses while also maintaining the highest environmental standards. Trump will meet with President Biden at the White House on Wednesday. Today at Arlington National Cemetery on Veterans Day, Biden said the greatest honor of his life has been
to lead you, to serve you, care for you, to defend you, just as you defended us, generation after generation after generation.
Major airlines canceling flights to Haiti after a Spirit flight from Fort Lauderdale was hit by gunfire while attempting to land in Port-au-Prince. A flight attendant suffered minor injuries. A new record high for Wall Street, the Dow up 304 points to close above 44,000 for the first time ever. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Today is Veterans Day. A recent report shows that current service members are facing the same challenges as many others financially. With more, here's Civic Media's Melissa Kay.
While this day honors the sacrifices military members have made for our country, it also serves as a reminder of the ongoing struggles that current service members are facing. In Wisconsin, over 37% of service members find it difficult to cover expenses. According to recent Household Pulse survey data, members of the armed services are experiencing financial strain at higher rates than the general U.S. population. Over 40% of service members report difficulty covering their usual household expenses, compared to 36.6% of all U.S. adults, while over 71% of the general population stress about recent price increases. Nearly 80% of military personnel share similar feelings. A key issue service members frequently raise is that their basic allowance for housing has not kept pace with the rapidly rising cost of housing.
Budgets from local to federal government have struggled to keep up with inflation the past few years, resulting in higher local property taxes, recruitment issues, and the loss of public services. Recent rains and cooler temperatures have reduced wildfire risks across western and southern Wisconsin. With more, here's Civic Media's Joanne Krulatz.
Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources announced that the special burning permit requirement for 13 Wisconsin counties has been lifted. The rescinding of this special fire order applies to the following 13 counties: all of Columbia, Crawford, Green Lake, Marquette, Portage, Richland, Sauk, Waupaca, Waushara, Volcanto, Dane, Grant, and Iowa counties. Despite the improved conditions, the public is still encouraged to exercise caution when having any kind of fire, as the fire danger changes daily, and it's important to check with local fire officials before conducting any outdoor burning.
Drought status did improve in the Cooley region last week. For WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Jack Del Rio out at Wisconsin. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Former NFL head coach Jack Del Rio is out of the Wisconsin Badgers football program after being charged with drunk driving late last Thursday night. The 61-year-old Del Rio was driving in the Madison area after midnight when he struck a road sign and drove through a residential fence. Del Rio, who was a head coach for the Jaguars and Raiders, has been serving as a senior advisor to Badgers head coach Luke Fickell.
Obviously, I've been in communication on Friday with our administration. Had some communication, obviously, with Jack, have sat down with him, and he'll be releasing a statement here, and he's going to resign and move on.
The Badgers host number one ranked Oregon Saturday night. NBA, the Bucks had a 17-point lead in the first half, then let it slip away in the third quarter, losing at home to the Celtics 113-107. The Bucks are now 2-8. How can they turn it around?
Well, we just got to dig ourselves out of this hole. We created it, all of us, me, them.
That's the Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
We've got a cold front dropping through the state today that's whipping our winds up feisty, gusting around 40 miles per hour. With partly cloudy skies and crashing temps throughout the afternoon, we've got to slap at least a 5 to 10 degree wind chill on top of the cooler air. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 48.
You're an organ donor, right? Here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Tom, your thoughts.
I don't believe that people don't know who Trump is at this point, and they have willfully decided to ignore everything he has said in order to vote what they think is the most important thing. And that's what voting is all about. But you can't claim ignorance when it comes time that Trump is going to pull the trigger and do some things that are going to hurt you and your family. That's what's probably going to happen.
Yeah.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as it's Tuesday Tangents with Luke Mathers. We'll find out what's grinding his gears and more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX. La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. You can be part of this fine production. Call us 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Jess P.S. is on the board. We got some guests. A big show for you folks today. Wisconsin State Senator-elect Jody Habesh-Sinikin is going to join us at 4:30 today. And my favorite socialist, Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy up at UW Green Bay. He will join at 5 o'clock. Well, we're not quite a week in, but, you know, we're getting there. Mm-hmm. It's been a lot to deal with, but, you know, we're managing and we're getting there. We're here. You're here.
We're here.
I'm here. Right? Our minds are still spinning, perhaps. And
perhaps. You know,
dealing with the consequences of losing this election. The incoming Trump administration is starting to line up some of their cabinet picks, and we're going to dive into some of that today as well. But first, happy Veterans Day to all the veterans out there. Joe Biden spoke today in honor of the veterans. I think we should start with the current president. Let's start with the a little sugar. Let's keep it sweet. Let's keep it positive. The sacred obligations for our veterans. Let's hear what Biden had to say on today's Veterans Day.
We have many obligations, but only one truly sacred obligation. Sacred. Prepare those we send into harm's way and to care for them and their families when they return home and when they don't.
And when they don't, of course, the greatest sacrifice that can be made. President Biden honoring the veterans today. Cut number 2, please, Jess.
It's been the greatest honor of my life to lead you, to serve you, to care for you, to defend you, just as you defended us generation after generation after generation.
The president, he addresses the PACT Act. This is the Promise to Address Comprehensive Toxics Act. That's PACT. The VA to basically cover some more toxic substances. Here's what the president had to say in that regard.
I'm proud to announce that the VA will expand the number of cancers covered under the PACT Act.
And finally, Joe Biden.
God willing, we will make sure that any rare condition you've developed is covered. We're committed to getting this rule in place by the end of my term.
Good luck. I mean, I certainly appreciate that. It makes total sense. Why would we not have things covered through the VA for those that would, you know, sacrifice themselves for our country? Sure, maybe they, you know, they got out alive, but now you're poisoned with X, Y, or Z for the rest of your life. Certainly we as a society, as a civilization, as a country should certainly get behind our veterans. So there was the president honoring the veterans today on Veterans Day. Thank you to all the veterans out there. As mentioned, going to have Wisconsin State Senator-elect Jody Habesh-Sinikin at 4:30. But the local news regarding Wisconsin today, making a little bit of national news as well. The Wisconsin Supreme Court hearing arguments over the 1849 abortion ban. Yes, we're still talking about this. This is still going on, according to the Journal Sentinel, Jessica Van Ingren, and our friend Jesse Apoyam. The future of abortion access in Wisconsin, now in the hands of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. The good news is, though, Justice, as written here, a liberal-leaning court.
Thank goodness.
They heard oral arguments today whether an 1849 law specifically bans abortions or whether subsequent laws or court rulings override the 175-year-old statute. Now, Dane County Circuit Court Judge Diane Shipler ruled in December of 23 that the law in question does not apply to abortion, but to feticide. The consensual abortion, a consensual abortion, is sought out by a pregnant woman who voluntarily determines to end a pregnancy. Shipler's ruling was based on a 1994 state Supreme Court decision that determined feticide is a non-consensual act in which somebody batters a woman to the point she loses the pregnancy. So different, right? Definitionally different. Attorney General Josh Call argued in the lawsuit that the 1849 law has been invalidated by abortion laws passed since Roe v. Wade decision, including requirements that a woman must undergo an ultrasound before an abortion, along with a counseling appointment and a 24-hour waiting period, and restrictions on medication abortions and telehealth access. Now, liberal Justice Rebecca Dalek quickly challenged the validity of the 19th century law, emphasizing it was passed before women and men had equal rights. Well, do we have that now? I guess I'm not clear.
Working on it.
We're still working on that. In 1849, Dalek said the only people who had rights were white men with property. 1849. Yeah, or as the Republicans would say, the good old days. Justice Jill Karofsky, also a member of the court's liberal majority, said upholding the 1849 law, which makes no exceptions for cases of rape, incest, or the health of the mother, would mean signing the death warrants of women and children.
Yep.
We hopefully will get some sort of resolution to this because, again, folks, you know, self-governance, this thing never, ever ends. And we have a Wisconsin Supreme Court election coming up next year as well. So there we go. That's the current news. Make it all the national news here in the state of Wisconsin. Still a thing, still fighting it. And hopefully that liberal Wisconsin Supreme Court will make the right decision. Dave Zweifel over at the Cap Times, like this guy, old cat, says what's on his mind. He has a
you relate.
Not that old, just, you know. But of course, the years between us is probably close to the years between me and Dave. We knew he was a monster, then we elected him anyway. You know, it's been interesting, certainly. This past weekend, we had a party at the house, and my cousin came in from Detroit, watched the Detroit Lions game last night, and wow, what a comeback. But anyway, we're not going to go into sports. And so getting together with friends, it was a scary movie night. You know, every year we have Steph organizes a party, about a dozen friends and family come over, and we eat, drink, smoke, and watch scary movies. And we have like one main event. And then we watch a bunch of goofy classics or whatever the case may be. And we all just sit around and just have a great time. It's a great escape. And it's been a lot of fun to unplug for me since, I don't know, like Friday at 6 o'clock till about 3 o'clock this afternoon. And I am... You know, still processing everything, and
it's going to be a while.
Yeah, and I vacillate between my feelings and whatnot, and I am concerned for, you know, friends and family than folks that are taking it really hard, and I get it. You know, the feelings are real, and the threat is real. Some of the discussions of it that come across my ears, moving out of the country, you know, that mm-hmm. thing, we're leaving mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. Like Cartman from South Park, F you guys, I'm going home. And making that home somewhere else. And again, I totally can appreciate that. And hell, if you got the resources to do so, even if you don't, you know, expat, you can You can telecommute, essentially. You can be a digital nomad. There's some countries that give breaks.
Yeah, that
breaks
was a new phrase to me
yeah,
today.
Yeah, digital nomad.
Digital nomad.
You get a visa for 6 months, maybe up to a couple of years in several countries, and you can go work abroad. But certainly you have to, again, have the resources, number one, the job, the employment, number two, and the, it's called social and family liberation variable opportunity to not, you know, to be able to walk away for 6 months, man, and not see family, friends, or whatever, or however the case may be. Hell, I even saw a headline like 4 year cruises. You know,
four
oh my
year
God,
cruises.
Kill me now. Oh, I mean, being a boat for 4 years. I mean, it could be. It'd have to be really, really bad. It'd have to be like World War Z bad, like zombie apocalypse for me to get on a boat for 4 years.
That's a long time to be on a boat.
That's a long time. So I get it. I get it. But don't do that. Don't do that.
Nah, man.
Nah, just don't do that. We stay and we fight and we argue and we try to, you know, learn the lessons of our past failures. And it's not all on us. I blame Jess. It's not all on
hey, now.
You know, there's parties involved, there's big money involved, there's lots of, you know, there's so many things. It can feel overbearing sometimes. And I totally get the inclination to just say, F this, F that, I'm going. But then there's one less person, you know, here to stand up against what we know is sure to come. Some of the other conversations, you know, loading up on beans and rice and, you know, all the prepper stuff.
The bunker tendencies, they're waking up.
I get that. I don't know if you guys know this about me, but my parents were a little odd. And I grew up, born in Livonia, Michigan, you know, Metro Detroit. Dad took a job at Kimberly-Clark, so I ended up in Stevensville, Wisconsin, on the top of a hill in the middle of the country. And my parents weren't really preppers, I wouldn't say, because they didn't have any guns. So good luck, you know, keeping all the stocks with someone who has a gun can just come take it. But, you know, I digress. We had all sorts of, like, you know, vacuum packed beans and all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, life goes on and, you know, parents get divorced and we move on. All that stuff just got thrown away. I think like in my lifetime, what do we had to worry about? Well, the one that's most, you know, recent, of course, is the pandemic. And short of, you know, people loading up their pickup trucks with all the toilet paper they can possibly hold, it wasn't. And short of course, the inflationary impact and some of the products not being available, or whatever. We didn't have that kind of problem. Now, does the pandemic, is it going to be different than a Trump administration? You know, hopefully millions won't die. I'm hopeful. But even in that circumstance, I didn't feel, you know, the need. Me personally, again, these are all our way of dealing with things. I'm not judging. I'm just giving it out there. It's telling you what I think about it. And I think that that's maybe not necessary. Now, if you need to get a couple of a week's worth of rice and beans or a month's worth, I mean, that's not a big deal, whatever. If you're going to load up your entire, you know, basement for you know, years supply, I mean, that seems a little extreme, but I'm just saying, when we talk about how we handle these things, you know, to just give it up and go away. No, that's not, I mean, that's an option, but please don't do that. I'm going to start prepping and staying in and doing, well, I mean, if you're concerned, certainly do what you have to do to alleviate your concerns. Your emotions are real. They're real. They're as real for you as they are for the preppers who started doing that when Obama got elected. So I'm not discounting it. I'm just saying that maybe those kinds of things aren't necessary. They're healthy to the fact that they can help you deal. But the practical implications, at least right now, I don't know if that's really necessary. But we're here. We're here to help deal. We're here to help get along. And we're all going to do this together. And I'm not loading up. I got guns. I'll just go, you know, take someone else. I'm just kidding. I would say that to my parents. So why do we have all this stuff when someone got a gun? Just come take it. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. Come back with your calls, 855-752-4842.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With limited incomes not keeping up with the lingering effects of inflation, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.kwwf.org.
After raising the kids, having weddings, and getting them settled, my wife and I prepared to spend our very first Christmas alone. They were all at the in-laws this year, so we watched old videos of them growing up, went to bed early, and Christmas morning my wife said, "Let's never do that again."
We're on our own again this year, but we're actually looking forward to it because we rented a private vacation home in Alexandria, Minnesota. Lakes, shopping, restaurants, and new memories.
Explore your holiday getaway options at explorealex.com.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail, and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvi Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. It's a phone line. It's a text line. We got some early innovators on the text line. Let's get to a few of those. Gary from Madison, he writes, listening to Dom, starting to understand him, he's a little wacko, but we're all a little wacko.
And you know, that's why we love you.
I mean, yeah, you know, I never said I was sane, man. You know, we're all a victim of our circumstances, Gary, but I appreciate you listening. I mean, it'd be boring. I mean, it can't be normal, quote unquote. But I don't even know what that
overrated.
Is. I don't know what that is.
Someone once said that's a setting on a wash machine.
Right.
Not for people.
No, not at all. Make it hot and spin it fast. Cam, now I've heard these things before. I'm just going to throw this out there and we'll just address this briefly. I'm going to suggest you and Dom don't no longer run phrases like "we lost the election." It's doing us more harm, as several investigations have the possibility to start up here soon. As conspiracy theory as it sounds, actually have a source. Stephen Spoonamore, a renowned white hat hacker, wrote a duty to inform letter to Governor Shapiro, believes the machines have code in them that only triggers on election night, or code to the tabulation machines, which are connected to the internet, could alter the traffic. Listen, if I am not doing that, I am not going there. If there is to be a thing, then you know what? Then we'll get who's the pillow guy? Have Lindell. You know, do the $1 million giveaway and prove it. You know, come on, guy. We can't do that. If there is evidence, sure, okay. But short of that, as far as I know, we lost. Harris lost. She conceded the race.
Mm-hmm.
Trump's putting his crew together. I mean, I don't know what you're looking for or what you can hope to accomplish by that. It sounds like the same things that the writers were saying when Biden won, man. So same thing I said then. If there's evidence, bring it forth and prosecute the case. If not, you know, don't be like that. Let's not do that. 855-752-4842. I mean, and I've seen it all of socials, and I try not to stay away. I've been unplugged, but I can't, you know, some things pop up here and there. And I did see them. I'm thinking to myself, you got to be kidding me. we're going to go down the same thing and do the same stuff and react in the same manner that the right wingers did when Biden won, somehow stolen. And it would seem to me that there should be some court cases lined up then. You know what I mean? Where is the money going behind that? So until there's some actual action, a lawsuit, until some of those things, you know, come on. Rumors on the internet, males be, you know, talking trash at the bar. It doesn't matter. Until there's some sort of evidence and some sort of action by those who can find the evidence, are willing to fund the lawsuits.
Right.
Let's not go there. But if you got something, you got some proof, let me know. 855-752-4842. We do have Wisconsin State Senator-elect Jody Habesh-Cinnikin coming up at the bottom of the hour. One of the bright spots, one of the few bright spots in this election. But I did start talking about the Cap Times, Dave Zweifel. We knew he was a monster. We elected him anyway. Let me throw this one out there before Jody comes along with us. The messages came fast and furious first thing Wednesday morning. Oh, yes, they did. One of my regular trolls demanded to know how I was feeling today, linking his sarcasm to a string of crying emojis. Several fans sent messages of disbelief, one insisting he was going to jump off a cliff. Don't do that. Another sent a copy of Garrison Keillor's post-election column in which the celebrated Minnesota humorist declared that journalism is dead. There's no point in stating facts anymore. I'm going back to fiction, he wrote. It worked beautifully for the Don, and now it's my turn. Keillor spelled out what we have to look forward to. Quote, the country voted against politics Tuesday and voted in a man who will fix everything. He will make Ukraine and Gaza disappear. Big tax cuts. Bobby Kennedy Jr. will end fluoridation.
There you go.
No more fluoride in the water because, you know, that's bad. And eliminate bad vaccines. Elon Musk will cut $2 or $3 trillion from the national budget. The U.S. Army will round up 10 or 11 million undocumented migrants, many of whom are employed on farms or in hotels or nursing homes. And the profound results of all of this are on the heads of the Make America Cruel Again people. My old Claire stalwart, Steve Anderson, sent a photo of a solemn guy standing in front of the Resolute desk with Trump seated in the chair with the caption, imagine, if you will, a country that destroyed fascism in one great war only to vote for it willingly two generations later. Damn, sounds like the Twilight Zone.
Absolutely.
Imagine if you will. Zweifel goes on. Admittedly, it was hard to take, especially considering that one candidate had broken laws, was a convicted felon, threatened to use his powers to punish his opponents, while the other was a competent district attorney general, and senator who had served 4 years as a capable vice president and promised to embrace her opponents in her administration. Trouble is, unfortunately, she was a woman and a black one at that. His voters denied that it had anything to do with it, but the facts are pretty clear. Before the election, I had finished New York Times chief White House correspondent Peter Baker's and New Yorker's Susan Glasser's The Divider, a book documenting the 4 years of chaos that marked Trump's first term in office. I wished everyone would read that book before voting in an election that could put this dangerous and unhinged man back in power. Too late now, it turns out. Come on, people aren't reading. If that's not on a Substack or not on a Joe Rogan podcast, no one's reading that, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
He will now be even more dangerous with this conquered Republican Party, maybe in control of both houses of Congress. Yeah, probably. The nation's publisher, Katrina VandenHeuvel, offered some solace. This is not a moment to lose, she wrote. We must harness our fears, our grief, and yes, our anger to resist the dangerous policies Donald Trump will unleash on our country. We rededicate ourselves to our role as journalists and writers of principle and conscience. And that's exactly what needs to be done, writes Dave. Trump and his legions of yes men will stage an all-out assault on America's institutions and its most vulnerable people during the next 4 years. One of my colleagues back in my reporting days, a Navy veteran, used to complain about his boss. We have a madman at the helm. Well, now we actually do. And he's a leader of our country. It's essential we stand up to him until the day we can correct this wrong. Dave Zweifel, editor emeritus of the Cap Times. You can find it at captimes.com.
As well as in our podcast.
And in the podcast, yes. Download the Civic Media app and take us with you. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. Wisconsin State Senator-elect Jody Habesh-Cinnikin going to join us next. Stick around.
Yeah. You're listening to the Talk of Lacrosse, Eagle 1490 AM. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Today, tributes are lined up across the state to recognize members of the military. However, there are many challenges facing veterans, including the ability to afford housing. With more, here's Civic Media's Lisa Hale.
Today is Veterans Day. In the homeless population of Wisconsin, veterans outnumber regular citizens proportionately.
Of course, we have the largest population that's going to have PTSD issues, right? More than any other organization. That goes along with that, you're going to have a connection of substance abuse to deal with those PTSD issues. If they're not getting help. So that's a secondary to that.
Tim Cody is a full-time volunteer with the Fox Valley Veterans Council in Appleton. Homelessness is also a primary concern.
We find them hopefully before they're homeless, as our real goal, is to try to keep them in their place for 2 to 3 months so that they can straighten their life out, get a direction to go, and keep them where they are.
Cody said statistically in Wisconsin, there are more homeless veterans than regular citizens.
Locally, there's no public data collected on homeless veterans. La Crosse has made regional headlines for its legislative efforts affecting the homeless population, including a camping ban on all city-owned property. Yesterday, several musicians and local organizations came together to raise money for veterans and to support unsheltered people in the La Crosse area. The event, Hopi Hour, featured 12 hours of music and auctions at the Popcorn Tavern. Musicians donated their time and tips to area causes, such as What I Need Now and the La Crosse Area Veteran Mentor Program. Hopi Hour was hosted by the Serendipity Hope Foundation and featured auctions and other fundraisers in addition to the music. You can take Civic Media with you anywhere you go. Download the free Civic Media app on your device's app store or at civicmedia.us/app. From the Western Wisconsin Civic Media Newsroom, I'm Jimmy Cuska for AM 1490 WLCX and lacrosseeagle.com.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabo. If you're a Star Wars fan, prepare to go into a lather. There is a new trilogy in the works from Lucasfilm. Writer-producer Simon Kinberg will write, produce, and develop the three new Star Wars films. It's been 5 years since we saw The Rise of Skywalker, which was the most recent Star Wars film in theaters. Since then, Lucasfilm brought us three shows in the Mandalorian world, including The Mandalorian, The Book of Boba Fett, and Ahsoka, and the upcoming Skeleton Crew. They also launched shows The Acolyte, Obi-Wan Kenobi, and Andor. Simon Kinberg is known for his writing and producing skills for several X-Men films and 2016's Deadpool. Variety reports the new trilogy is in the early stages of development, so there are no story details just yet. There has also been no announcement on when production might start. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear and cooler tonight with lows close to 30. Sunshine and again cooler tomorrow, highs near 50. Rain returns for Wednesday, highs in the upper 40s. But back into sunshine for Thursday and Friday, highs near 50 Thursday, mid-50s Friday. Right now it's 48.
Matt Nair on air.
And we are here with Matt Randolph, Mr. Global. Donald Trump now will be coming in for a second term. There has been talk of removing sanctions from Russia. What would that mean, Matt, for the oil and gas industry?
So it depends on what Russia does, but we've seen nothing to suggest that they want to have anything to do with lowering oil prices.
And so the prices are essentially going to stay the same?
In all likelihood, yes.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
John Legend, ladies and gentlemen. John, you and I have something in common because your last name is Legend and you're an actual legend. And my last name is Schwabe and I'm an actual Schwabe. So there you go.
No, what is a Schwabe? You have to explain.
I'm a work in progress, but as soon as I figure it out, I'll let you know.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be here at 11:06. The woman is a fountain of positivity. Make sure you join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for listening. Jazzed as hell to introduce to you right now, Wisconsin State Senator-elect Jody Habesch-Sinikin. Congratulations on a bright spot in an otherwise bleak day. Jody, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
It is our pleasure to have you. New maps here in Wisconsin's 8th Senate District. Now, unfortunately, I moved away from the district this election cycle, Jody, so I couldn't vote for you this time. But new maps seemingly have helped. But you've labeled yourself, Jody, as a consensus builder as well. What do you think puts you over the top here?
It really was that message. Our ground game and all the thousands of doors, the meet and greets, the phone calls, the tens of thousands of postcards. It was an enormous community effort with solidarity such like I've never experienced before. That really is what got us there. Is I'm sure you're aware, the communities in this district were the only ones in the country, really, of the few who avoided that red wave. Washington County, Waukesha County, the portions in Senate District 8 really held strong and actually moved bluer.
Jody, you're still going to be in the minority in the state Senate, well, hell, even in the legislature as well, as not every, you know, all the senators were not up for election this cycle, and we'll still move, have elections in 2 years again. What would you like to see done? What do you think is important to produce and to do in order to fulfill your obligations, your promises, and what you think your constituents want?
Absolutely. What we want is progress. We want to move Wisconsin forward, get past all this partisan divisiveness and the take no prisoners approach, and start making the necessary improvements and investments in our local communities, in our education system, K-12 up through the university level. Codify Roe v. Wade and secure women's reproductive health for doctors and for families in Wisconsin. There are so many issues that we need to make progress on that have been held hostage for the last 10 plus years under the gerrymander.
And we'll have to continue to fight for those changes and moving forward. Jody Habesch-Sinikin, Wisconsin's 8th Senate District elect. Jody, there's been a lot of reflection here since the election last week. What's your experience? You've run before and you were not successful, and you keep trying, you keep fighting, you keep going, and you pulled it out this time. What lessons do you think you can that you learned might be applicable to everyone's, you know, reevaluating and looking back at what happened in this election cycle?
My experience the first time around, as you are well aware, was under the old maps. There is a 12-point disadvantage to any Democrat running in then Senate District 8. Under the new maps, that was cut in half. So we still had about a 6-7 point disadvantage, but we were able to overcome it again by really speaking to folks about the value of legislators in Madison working across the aisle with one another, which has long been Wisconsin's tradition as a purple state. I think that that message of putting down a bit of the partisan camps that we've all separated ourselves in to really try to understand each other, what it is that we need in our communities, in our nation, and try to figure our path forward. That seems to be what has been missing a bit. And I hope that we can heal and make some progress at the national level, too.
Jody Habesch-Sinikin, Wisconsin State Senator-elect for the 8th Senate District here in the state of Wisconsin. Some of the criticism on the national level, Jody, has been as a party that perhaps the Democratic Party has not supported, not gone after and tried to woo the working class of this country. Obviously, you pulled this out. What's your assessment of that critique?
In my meetings, I've met with so many unions and folks and concerned about labor and people across this district, which includes many, many working people in Butler, in Lannan, Menominee Falls, Port Washington, you name it. I am talking to those people, and I think that there has been a lot done in recent years with the infrastructure deal and others to create opportunities. The apprenticeship programs are phenomenal. I find them so inspiring in ways that we can help our young people move into good careers and good lives for their families of the future. So I think that some of it is a communication problem, that they haven't been able to express all the good that has been done and is going to continue. So that is really what I have experienced in our district, that we are doing very important things. And talk comes cheap. It's easy to say things and to make promises, but I think people should really look to see what has actually been done to help families.
Jody, you know, and again, congratulations. I love the fact that you've continued to fight, and with these new masks, you were able to pull it out. And a lot of the reaction that I've seen and for success for governance is state and local government. I mean, if you want to make changes on the ground where you're at, you have to get involved on the local level. And we're always going to have to deal with a national issue, let's call it. But when it comes down to the state and local level, it becomes, you know, very hands-on, very personable, very face-to-face. Overcoming the communication I don't know if it's communication, perhaps, if there's a difference in understanding of what the facts may be, as you mentioned, the Infrastructure Act and some of these efforts that were put forth and actually passed under the Biden administration, some folks didn't think it did anything for them. And some folks, when you talk about, well, you know, these tariffs could increase costs if proposed by the Trump administration, could actually increase costs and increase inflation. Some folks really don't hear that. How do you successfully breach that? Because people get very sensitive if they're not aware of a particular fact or in this environment. And I've had personal conversations with friends that have been really defensive about their position if I bring, you know, other facts and new facts to light. And when we deal on a personal level, on a state and local level, what's the best way, do you think, it is to approach, you know, perhaps a difference in not just opinion, but in what we would perceive as facts with those that may not be aware or don't agree with it?
Yeah, I think it's very much what you're saying is the conversation. First, having a conversation. At all these many, many countless stores, I always would start with what's top of mind for you and try to understand what it is, what the concern lies, whether it is with healthcare, whether it is with taxes, whether it is with inflation, whether it is with community safety concerns, education, and start there. And try to get an understanding of what is really bothering them and try to offer solutions on where there can be progress. For example, in the Senate District 8 communities, there is these ongoing school referenda that have come up year after year after year in certain communities. And that's simply a consequence of there not being sufficient funding, notwithstanding the progress in shared revenues under Act 12. More needs to be done at the local level for more autonomy and more funding so that communities are not forced to have to raise their property taxes on themselves just to guarantee appropriate services and education for their children. That is money out of their pocket. Those increased costs at the local level just means that there's less money to pay for groceries, to pay for other life expenses. So I try to explain what we can do at the state level or at the local level. We sure as heck can't take on national price gouging by these corporations at the local level, but we can do things that keep more money in people's pockets here in Wisconsin, and of course, make those necessary investments in our schools and in our communities so that we can have the best possible lives for our families.
Jody, I always thought, you know, when the politicians say, oh, you know, first they're all about local control and then they're not about local control. Then they are about local control. So I guess it depends on what the circumstances are. But no one wants to raise taxes. No one wants to be no elected official wants to come in and say, I'm going to raise your taxes because we need to do X, Y, or Z. I thought in some regards, the politicians that voted for this were wimping out to the degree that now they don't have to make those hard, quote unquote, decisions. They're just going to let, you know, the referendum, and everyone's going to do their own referendum and let them raise taxes on themselves. And so now, you know, the politicians, they're not the bad guys, bad girls. You know what I'm saying? How much of that plays into it? That people just, the politicians, the lawmakers just don't want to have to be the ones to say, we're raising your taxes.
Yeah, I think it's even more than that, given the gerrymander. We have a $4 billion plus surplus, as in billion. We have opportunity to make necessary investments in those matters like childcare, like our schools, like our universities, etc. But it has been held hostage by this legislature, particularly by the Joint Finance Committee, where my opponent, Dewey Strobel, was a co-chair. There has been this partisan war to hold back the release of funding that we could go forward on. For example, the literacy bill that he touted time and again on the radio and in literature that he the legislature, approved and the governor signed off on $50 million to go into the schools for literacy coaches, curriculum, etc. But the Joint Finance Committee has held on to over $49.5 million of that 50. Same with PFAS remediation, same with the money due the Western Wisconsin hospitals, on and on. We have the money available to help families in Wisconsin and to lower costs and to help them. But it has been held hostage by these partisan wars.
Jody Habesh-Sinikin, Wisconsin State Senator-elect for Wisconsin's 8th Senate District. Just a few more minutes, Jody. On the education, the vouchers and school choice and those kinds of issues, it seems to me that we have basically a two parallel, and one of them an unfunded, school systems. Now, I was a product of private school, at least high school. My parents made that decision to pull me out of a public school and put me into private school and went to Pocket to go do that. What's your sense on the seemingly massive growth over the last 20 years on school choice and school vouchers and so on? And is there some sort of unwinding or something that we can do to at least mitigate the continued growth? How do you see these two different parallel but different school issues proceeding in the next 6 years?
It's an excellent question. I, too, have been observing that growth. And what we basically are having now in Wisconsin is two separate school systems that require funding. And that is not sustainable. So what we need to make sure that we're taking care of is holding these school systems to similar standards of accountability and transparency. And particularly when it comes to special education funding, there needs to be comparable standards so that the public school system isn't unfairly burdened with special education needs that is paid at such a disparate rate than the voucher schools, which places enormous burdens and a disadvantage on our public school system. So there just needs to be a really good and careful look at this, because everyone, I think, can agree that we need an excellent education system for our children, for Wisconsin's future, for our economy. And there is so much dysfunction out there and lack of accountability that I'm very much hopeful that we're going to make some progress on this and address the concerns that you just raised.
Jody Habesh-Sinikin, Wisconsin State Senator-elect for Wisconsin's 8th Senate District. Congratulations on your victory. The 8th Senate District is very lucky to have someone like you representing them. We look forward to you serving your seat and hope you come around a lot here in the future. Thank you so much, Jody.
Thank you, Dom. I appreciate it. Thanks, Jess.
Always.
Appreciate you.
Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Going to come back with some of your calls, 855-75-CIVIC.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
It is absolutely disgusting for conservatives to suggest that because someone is poor or struggling, that they lack judgment. If anybody needs morality policing, it's rich folks, for crying out loud, not people who are struggling to put food on the table and keep a roof over their heads.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
If you haven't tried mindfulness techniques before, the idea is to take a minute, focus on the present, not the past, not the future. Be here now. You can do it in your car.
Please, not while you're driving.
I would say preferably not driving. Just take a moment and close your eyes and just breathe. Focus like on the breath coming into your body and out.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Eagle, 1490 AM.
And welcome back to the Dom Selfie Show, 855-752-4842-855-75-CIVIC. I want to thank our most recent guest, Jody Habish-Sinikin, Wisconsin State Senator-elect for the 8th District. Appreciate Jody coming around. She's a hard worker. I voted for her when I was still in the district last time around. Some new maps and keep on working. And she pulled it out. It was a close one, but she pulled it out. Congratulations. And I think the 8th Senate District will be pleased with her service during her term. And if there's a lesson to be learned, folks, just keep on going. None of it never ends. It doesn't end. Self-governance is always going to be here, whether you're involved or not. So I would rather have you involved, because if you're not, otherwise, it's folks like CJ, 855-752-4842. Hey, CJ, our conservative buddy, congratulations on your victory. Welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
Thanks, Dom, for taking my call. I did give many of your hosts a little break to try to recoup because yeah. It was an ass whooping. And I guess I've had fun listening to the pundits because, you know, and the blame game, because really, you know, it comes down to the candidate and the issues. And we listen to the Democrats and the party and the candidate tell us, you know, that what they were going to do for us, but then they denied that the economy for many people were in the tank. And you know, this is, you know, the world's on fire. And we need a guy like Donald Trump representing America. And he's going to take care of it. He's going to do what he said he was going to do. And the electric vote, you know, really wasn't even close.
You're absolutely right. It wasn't close. CJ, let me ask you, what does success look like for the Trump administration? You talked about the economy and some of that hand-wringing, some of that reflection that you mentioned, talking about the pundits, is that and Bernie Sanders articulated in such a fashion, basically, that, you know, you're no surprise that working class people walked away from the Dems because the Dems walked away from working class people. Do you agree with Senator Sanders' assessment in that, CJ?
Yeah, I guess I do. I mean, it's an honest evaluation because, you know, again, we listened to how great the Biden-Harris economy was. Well, people didn't feel it. And, you know, inflation is still with us. It went up 22% on most things. So even though it's down now, it's nowhere near what
sure.
it was.
Now, so and in that regard, then, if we can both agree that maybe is what should have happened, that there was been more effort and policy specifically pointed at America's working class folks, not just white working class, as Sanders said, now black and brown working class. If that's the case, then CJ, what policy does Trump do you think is going to execute that will in fact make inflation zero, as I heard Trump say, or will impact to the working class folks that the Dems apparently ignored in a positive manner? Because for what I'm seeing is tariffs, to my understanding, CJ, just raise costs, right? If you take out and deport, you know, 10 million people, 8 million of whom are in the workforce and 17% of them are in agriculture and, you know, a bunch of others and construction and service industries and so forth, that's also going to drive up cost. So I guess as it pertains specifically to benefit the working class folks, CJ, what is Trump going to do to do that? What does that look like? What does success look like in your head, CJ?
Well, I think it's going to be close the border, reduce inflation by producing energy, because yes, we're at a very high rate, but it's already evident the European Union stopped buying energy from Russia, and now they're going to buy it from America. The threat of this man coming into office and doing what he says he's going to do.
But okay, but hang on, if I may, closing the border CJ, hang on a second. Closing the border isn't going to raise working folks' wages. Europeans buying more oil from America versus not would be an increase in demand, and usually increase in demand comes with an increase in price if there's no additional supply. So again, I'm not clear that those actually impact, you know, inflation and you know, wage growth for the working class. Last thought, CJ.
The threat of tariffs is enough to actually bring in competition. And for them to actually, like Mexico, they're now breaking up the caravan. And it does. We've spent $1 trillion already, over $1 trillion, housing, feeding, and health care for the illegal undocumented that have come in during the Biden-Harris. So they're going to rescind those executive orders of Biden-Harris. We're actually going to have a border czar, and it's going to create pay for Americans to have jobs first, not to house.
CJ, thanks, man. But I got to tell you, I don't think you're going to be the one, you know, working at the slaughterhouse, man. I don't think you're going to be getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning and go milking the cows, dude. I just don't see that happening. These policies are not, at least as we articulated and discussed today, don't seem to me to impact an increase the wage growth and to the benefit of America's working class. I don't see it. And maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know that increasing the competition for the G.I. Joe with the Kung Fu grip coming from China is going to do anything to pay, you know, your kids' college tuition. Harvey K. coming up next, 855-752-4842.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, we're all about Madison as I welcome comedian Johnny Beaner back to the show, and then WMDX morning show radio legends John Peterson and Gordy Young join the show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Earl Ingram.
Don from Milwaukee.
I enjoy your show right now at a time like this. You are great therapy for me. I don't know what I'd do without you guys.
We enjoy you as well. That's the importance of civic media and this platform. And Sandy and I take this seriously. We're going to continue to do whatever it is we can to make sure that people like you continue to get your voices heard.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. This is your local civic media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.